We're going to just take a break from the discipleship stuff. I told Cindy when I started getting this outfit together, I said, there ain't no way I can preach a serious message with yellow britches on. And so we're going to keep it real lighthearted this morning. It's going to be biblical, but I'm not going to hit on anything super serious this morning. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it for you, and we'll have it up on the screen as well. You know Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 very well. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Laughter is medicine, a merry heart. A merry heart is what produces laughter. A merry heart is good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Laughter is medicine. We know that. Laughter is like a tranquilizer when we're in the midst of trouble. It kind of deadens us to what's going on around. I've seen it, and even in the death of loved ones, laughter have a tranquilizing effect and just gives a sense of calm and peace. It's an antidote to our anxiety when we get anxious about things and we can actually find some laughter in the situation. Our anxiety is relieved. Laughter even helps with pain. It strengthens us against physical pain. Now, John would argue with that because he got some incisions and he was laughing trying to hold on to his incisions, but the reality is there's something chemically that's produced when we laugh that does help us cope with pain. Let me give you some, I believe God gave us laughter. The Bible says every good gift comes from God. You believe that? Is laughter a good thing? Don't we enjoy it? Laughter's a good thing. Now there's vulgar laughter, there's raucous things, there's reveling things that we ought not to engage in. But good, clean, wholesome laughter, I believe, is a gift from God. It's like a shock absorber for life. Because the reality is we go through hard times. We go through harsh times. We get weighed down sometimes. The load gets heavy. And I believe God gave us laughter as kind of a shock absorber against the harsh realities of life. Let me read you some quotes. Teresa of Avila, a Spanish nun, said, "She who laughs last." Jeannie and Jeanette are going to live to be 150 years old, without a doubt. When we have our fellowship meals in the back, you can hear them laughing above everybody in the building. And I've watched it 1,000 times. People will turn to see what they're laughing about. And it inevitably puts a smile on their face when you see them enjoying life. An old Jewish proverb says, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. When you talk about the soul of a man, that's our mind, our will, our emotions. Like soap is to the body, laughter is to our soul. It has a cleansing effect on us. Henry Ward Beecher said, mirth is God's medicine. Everybody ought to bathe in it. Milton Berle said, laughter is an instant vacation. Isn't that true? And who doesn't like a free vacation? When you can laugh, enjoy yourself, even if it's not a long-lasting period of time, you have a little bit of vacation from the hardships and the trials of life. Paul Harvey did the rest of the story for many, many years. And in one of his rest of the story episodes, he told a story about a man named Norman Cousins who had been, he was a writer, a novelist. He'd been diagnosed with an incurable disease, a very painful disease by the doctors. And the doctor said that there wasn't any cure. They basically gave up hope and sent him home. And Norman Cousins went home and decided that he was going to try his own form of treatment. He knew that when he laughed, that he could feel better about his situation. So he determined to treat himself with laughter. And Paul Harvey told the story that he went and rented and bought and found every Charlie Chaplin, Abbott and Costello movie that he could find. Now, those are old-time comedians, but they're good, clean, just funny comedy. And he said that he just sat at home and watched Abbott and Costello and Charlie Chaplin movies, one right after another. In fact, he mentioned that sometimes when he would have a good hearty laugh during one of those movies for the next 2 hours or so, he could feel virtually no pain and would sleep, get some much-needed sleep. And then as soon as the pain started creeping back in and sleep was gone, he'd get up and watch some more movies. So he understood that the more he laughed, the better that he felt. And pretty soon, he was well. Now, I know there are some try to discount what he went through, but the doctors looked for the disease that they initially diagnosed him with and couldn't find it. In Paul Harvey's rest of the story, Norman Cousins later went to work with the UCLA School of Medicine, and he pioneered in what was labeled psychoneuroimmunology. And it was interesting reading some of the experiments that they did. They found out that if you could control the mind, If you could bring some level of control over the mind, that's the soul of man, the mind, the will, the emotions. If you could control the mind, you could alter body temperature, you could alter blood pressure, you could alter even blood chemistry, and you could do it in a matter of minutes. It was all part of what your mind did. I went on, Cousins concluded in some of his studies, he made this conclusion: a strong will to live, along with other positive emotions, faith, love, purpose, determination, and humor, boosts disease-fighting immune cells. That was his conclusion. Now, it's just been a few years ago we read that people who actually have a healthy prayer life, people who are spiritual, actually do better when they have been diagnosed with incurable diseases. And they just function. That desire to live, that humor, that positive thinking. When you control your mind, you boost your body's immune system. I read, in studying this, I also read a Mayo Health Clinic report that said laughter aids in breathing. It changes your normal breathing pattern and makes you breathe a little bit out of rhythm, which is apparently healthy. It increases your heart rate. It helps clear mucus. I never thought about it until I read the report, but sometimes if you're real congested, And you start laughing, what's the next thing you start doing? Coughing. Because laughter triggers your lungs. It interrupts your breathing cycle and actually helps to clear mucus and improves circulation. It isn't any surprise to me, because it happens over and over and over again, but science and medicine agree with God. God said that laughter, a merry heart, does good like medicine. And science, now at least, begins to agree. Laughter is good for the body, it's good for the mind, it's good for the spirit of a man. It's been proven that we have stress hormones, and when we laugh, those stress hormones decrease, and at the same time, it releases those endorphins, which are natural pleasure chemicals and pain relievers into our body. So laughter is good for us medically. Don't you like to feel better? I don't like to feel bad, I like to feel better. See if this little video clip will help you feel a little better.
Ah!
watching babies laugh. How many of you adults have ever just sit around for literally sometimes hours on end entertaining children just so you can hear them laugh? It does good for us. By the way, get on YouTube sometime and just YouTube babies laughing, and there's an endless supply of videos just like that. There are four quadruplets that are hilarious when you watch them. And it makes you feel better. It works when we laugh. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because God said laughter was good like medicine. It's one thing for men to come up with their own clever little sayings, but when the Bible says it, it's true. Laughter doeth good like medicine. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30 says, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health." You can see something that brings joy to your heart. You can see somebody that has a cheerful heart, and it'll bring joy to your heart. Good news makes for good health. Speaking of good health, Cindy read an article a few weeks ago about olive oil being good for skin and for hair and for scalp. And you know, the Bible speaks a lot about olive oil. In fact, the psalmist said, "He anointeth my head with oil." We assumed that was olive oil. So she read an article about olive oil and decided she was going to give her hair treatment. So she washed that thing down good with olive oil. Hair and scalp got good and greasy. And let it sit for a little while, and then decided to get some shampoo and wash the oil out of it. She washed it two or three times with some regular shampoo. And later on that night, we laid down in the bed, and she leaned over and said, "Do I smell like olive oil?" And so I leaned over and gave her a sniff and said, "No, do I smell like Popeye?" Hey, and this guy, one of them Lee McBride things, if I don't tell you it's true, it could go either way, all right? Of all the people in the world that have a reason to laugh, Christians ought to be the most joy-filled. Amen? Of all the people in the world have a reason to laugh and enjoy life, it ought to be us. You know, Job was going through some hard times, and everything his friends said to him was not good things. His friends accused him of being guilty of some kind of sin, and that was the reason all these things were coming upon him. But some of them did say some positive things, some good things. And Job's friend Bildad, in Job chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, he gave Job this assurance. He said, "Look, God will not reject a person of integrity, nor will he make evildoers prosper." The next verse says this, though. This is a promise that Bildad said to Joab. He's not going to reject a man of integrity. And you're going through hard times right now, but he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. When Israel was delivered from their captivity, Psalm chapter 126, verse 2, says that after their captivity, after they were released from the Babylonians, "We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, 'What amazing things the Lord has done for them.'" Israel was delivered. There was reason for laughter. There was reason for rejoicing. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I know and I understand, we know and we understand that Ecclesiastes says that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And the Bible says there is a time to laugh and there is a time to mourn. There is a time to be serious about things. Laughter, we can go overboard with anything. Moderation is key to every area of our life. There are certainly times when it's not appropriate to laugh. There are times when gravity, when seriousness, when mourning, when grief, when all of those things are essential and necessary, and when laughter is completely inappropriate. But I want you to also understand this. A person that's perpetually grumpy and critical and ill-tempered and never laughs is just as inappropriate. Now, if you try to inject laughter at an inappropriate time, you're only going to make a fool of yourself. But if you're constantly trying to be a killjoy for everybody else's laughter, you're also going to make a fool out of yourself. There is a time and a purpose for laughter. The spirit, the scripture, in fact, says that if you live perpetually in grumpiness and in criticism and in sadness, that the last part of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says it dries your bones. A merry spirit does good like medicine, but a broken spirit, an angry spirit, a bitter spirit, a sad spirit, a judgmental spirit, a critical spirit, a spirit that will never laugh, never find humor, it'll dry you up from the inside out. And so it's important for us to understand the value of laughter. Proverbs 15:15, for the despondent, I love this verse. I don't know that I'd ever remember reading it before. For the despondent, that's that person that's perpetually grumpy, critical, sad. For the despondent, for the poor in spirit, every day brings trouble. But for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. I like feasts, don't you? For the happy in heart, life is a continual feast. I believe God wants His people to live abundantly. Because Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. I believe God wants His people to laugh heartily. The scripture says laughter is good like medicine. And I believe that God wants His people to love one another unconditionally. Psalms chapter 16 verse 11 says this, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Ain't that good? The psalmist said, as you show me, there's that abundant life. As you show me that abundant life, as I experience Your presence, my life will be filled with joy. There are pleasures at Your right hand forever. That starts now, by the way. I believe forever starts now. Our life will have no end. It exists forever. If His presence is in us and we are hidden in Him, I believe we will have joy. And you can't have, I understand that joy and happiness and joy and laughter are two different things, but the reality is you got true joy in your heart. There's some laughter somewhere there. There's a merry heart somewhere there. It can't just stay bottled up inside you forever. I believe God insists on us having joy. I believe He provides for us joy. I believe He created in us joy. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The gospel means good news. And it's sad sometimes that Christians walk around like we hadn't ever heard any good news. The gospel breaks chains. The gospel pardons sinners, of whom I was and am the chief. The gospel promises life. I like what one man said the gospel does for somebody that's had the chains breaking and the sins pardoned and has received the life. They said that the gospel points a finger straight at the chest of death and says, you gonna die, sucker. I like that, because that's what the gospel promises us, that Jesus defeated death, and that death is not our enemy anymore, and that because He lives, we live also. Jesus, in fact, said this, He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The New Testament uses the term, they which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. Our body, our soul, our spirit needs laughter. Your relationships need laughter. You know what? I believe our relationship with God needs laughter. I think that when we laugh, we can really, you see those kids laughing, it lightens our load. When we rejoice in the fact that laughter is coming right from the pure innocence of their heart. They don't even know what they're laughing at half the time, but it's funny to them. And we laugh along with them because whatever they're laughing at is funny. God wants us to laugh. It helps our relationship with Him. Life gets heavy. God's word sometimes gets heavy. This business of building the kingdom gets heavy. It's good for us to laugh together. But I'll tell you something. Our relationships need laughter. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to keep this outfit. I ain't going to sell it. About once a month, I'm going to come in to my wife, and I'm going to dance for her like I didn't dance for you. I'm going to put my wig on, because every time she looks at me with that wig, she laughs. And I know our life gets heavy sometimes. Our load gets heavy, and we don't laugh together enough. I tell folks all the time, we're going to talk about this in our marriage class later on, recreational intimacy. When we were dating one another, we had fun together. We enjoyed times. We laughed together. We watched funny movies together. Sometimes we let life just weigh us down. We need to laugh together. It's healthy for our relationships with each other. Victor Borg said this, "Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. It can bridge the gap." Alan Alda, who I believe was the MASH star, said, "When people are laughing, they're generally not killing each other." It's amazing how little simple truths all of a sudden become so profound, don't they? When people are laughing, they're generally not killing one another. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Medea said, if we are already promised days full of trouble, why are we going to add more trouble to the trouble we already promised? Hey. Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12. "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." Why? "So that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." I believe a joyful heart is a heart that is at peace with God. A joyful heart is a heart that will offer its praises unto God. You know what? Our world is looking for joy in all the wrong places. They're trying to find it everywhere. And the reality is, this joy really does come from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where real joy comes from. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We ought to show and tell. Amen? We ought to show and tell what we've got. We ought to show the world that the joy of the Lord is our strength. As hard as times might get, as harsh as times might be, we can show them that infinite, eternal joy that we have because we live in relationship with the Lord Jesus, that we love Him, that we serve Him, that our hope is in Him, that our confidence is in Him, that our eternity is in Him. Live, laugh, and love. I believe that's the Lord's desire for us. Think about that for just a minute. What's heaven going to look like? What's heaven going to look like? I promise you it's going to be full of life. If we can experience a measure of abundant life here, you think about how we're going to experience life there, abundant and eternal. Surely heaven's going to be full of laughter because the Bible says that He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And the Bible said there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. What's heaven going to look like when all sin's done away with and all the saints of God are gathered around that throne? It's going to be full of laughter, and I know that it'll be full of love. So you understand, live, laugh, love is biblical. It's the Lord's desire for us. It is a reflection of that whole atmosphere of what heaven will be forever and forever. You know, the sad reality is heaven's going to be filled with laughter and hell's not going to have any. And sometimes we look around at the world and we see lost people that seem to be enjoying life more than we do. That shouldn't be so, by the way. But we do need to understand this. If they don't get their life right with God, this is as good as it gets for them. There is no laughter in hell. There's no joy in hell. There's no happiness in hell. As Christian people, we ought to be joyful because this is as bad as it gets for us. I think we need to give the world a glimpse of the heaven that lives in us. We need to laugh more. We need to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Preachers take this the wrong way when I say it, but I've said it to some of them. I said, "You ought not take yourself so seriously. Nobody else does." Because I promise you, I got some preacher friends that's going to criticize me for dressing in yellow breeches today. But I want to tell you something. Blast it all over Facebook. I don't care. All right? I ain't going to be a stick in the mud. I ain't never going to be. Because God's done something in my heart that's given me eternal joy, and I want the world to see.
you have your fun. I promise you, you ain't having more fun than I am. And I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and sleep in the sweet peace of Jesus with joy in my soul. Amen?
Amen.
You can too. Christy, come. We're going to sing a song called Everybody Will Be Happy. Not like Brother Happy, but happy, happy. Happy is going to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Stand up and let's sing. If you need to come and pray, the altars are open. Been lighthearted, but if you just want to come, the Bible said God puts a song of praise in our mouth. If you want to just come and offer up your praise to Him on an altar, you do so. And this is going to be our closing song.